Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the spirit of a mother returns to their child at a very trying point in life. Is she able to make it through and make a difference?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to get access to all of our bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, they're called EPP bonus episodes. Stands for Extra Podcast Person. You get access to those. You get access, which is like almost 400 now of. You get access to our archive of episodes, several thousand episodes there. It's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. And then, of course, our advanced episodes. You get to hear those weeks before everybody else. And all of it, ad-free. No commercials in any of that stuff. So if you want it, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Oh, you said my name.
Hughes.
Carol Hughes.
Hughes. Yeah. It's a long
so
O.
I'm really intrigued by this, the tease that you gave at the top of this.
Mm-hmm.
Like the mother coming back and helping and this is going to be a good one. That's a good one.
It's
I haven't even heard it yet and I know it.
It's one of those where we take a look back and we wonder.
What
would Rod Stewart say on Kiss? A song that just keeps going and going. It makes you wonder, will you be forever young?
May the good Lord be with you.
There was a false
what
intro.
If you like...
I was used to the radio and it didn't go that
way. It would be funny to do like the Wheel of Rod Stewart things. It's so like, what would Rod Stewart say? And then it's like... Tick, 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 tick.
He would
May
say...
May the good Lord be with you.
He would say, love touch. On sunny 97. Ah. It's always sunny here. Especially when we're playing Rod.
Baby, I don't know.
Ooh.
Why.
Yeah.
But somehow I always seem to get tangled up in my pride.
Oh, yeah.
We're not that blind.
Tell me about it, Rod.
Ooh, yeah.
Hey, you think if I do the hair club for men, they'll like me too? Wow. When I was in Branson, there was a Rod Stewart impersonator, and he
oh my god! Oh my god! Is he still there?
And he I don't know, but
I want to see him
outside of being Rod Stewart impersonator. It was his real hair, and he would dress and he would walk around town, and he kind of acted like Rod Stewart. And like I saw,
that's really funny.
I saw him like in like the you know like the Sudafed aisle at Walmart. And I'm like, is that Rod Stewart?
Well, and don't like, they have like a whole show that's full?
They did. I don't know. That was years ago.
Because I went to see.
It was good.
My friend James and I went New Year's Eve 1999 to Branson, Missouri.
Uh-huh.
To see this Elvis impersonator.
See, and, 1999, you went to Branson?
Right?
Why and so, because
you know? Like, 1999, because the whole world was going to end.
I know.
We flipped decades.
Yeah, you're probably, so, okay there.
So they were like, you can't fly. You can't go here or there, do all this stuff. So I'm like, we can make it to Branson.
Sure.
So we did. And so we go to see this Elvis impersonator. And... there was a Shania impersonator, so now maybe they've incorporated Rod Stewart. Who knows? But so there's nobody in Branson. It's like everybody did what they should have done, which is leave.
Yes.
Nobody came into Branson. So we have friends that lived there in Springfield, actually, Missouri. And so they came over to, they didn't go to the Elvis impersonator. They met us at a bar afterwards, which nobody was at. And Elvis walked in and he was full on Elvis. And he walked in with his entourage, but it was like his wife in real life,
mm-hmm.
his daughter and her children.
Yeah.
And it's like
they stay in character. Yeah,
you're
even
walking
after.
In like Elvis, but you're with your grandkids. Like, this isn't working.
It's weird. Remember there was a show called Erie, Indiana, where everything was just kind of weird throughout this whole town. I kind of felt like that in Branson a little bit, where it would be where it's like, you're at the Applebee's and there's Elvis over there. There's Tina Turner to your left. And then down there, he's getting the 25-cent boneless wings today. Oh my God, is that Michael Jackson? You know, I mean, it would just be, you know, anything and everything. But that was a weird thing. A lot of them, like when you're doing hair, and if it's your real hair, you're limited with options. But a lot of them would still dress like the actual character.
Yeah.
When they're
walked in there as if he was Elvis.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm very involved in theater, and so I get being in costume. I get being in character.
Yeah.
But once you leave the stage, okay, if you're Elvis, you still might have real sideburns, you know. You'd probably want him to be authentic.
Yeah.
But, you know, put on a ball cap you don't need the sash.
They're doing method all the way. And and they're walking
every
around.
Every day, all day.
Without it, I would never, ever be Bryson impersonator in Branson. It's a Peebo Bryson impersonator? Was there ever enough Peebo Bryson songs for impersonation guy?
And what would be funny is I'm a Peebo Bryson impersonator, and people would be like, what did he look like?
It turns out it's really Peebo Bryson.
What did he look like? I don't remember what he looked like.
I don't remember. The only song I remember was, didn't he do a Linda Ronstadt or something song?
Like
a Peebo Bryson.
It was duet.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I know he did like a song with Celine Dion for one of the Disney movies. It was like Aladdin or Beauty and the Beast.
That was it. It was. Yeah, it was. I don't know if it was Beauty and the Beast, though, or was it?
It was that or Aladdin. One of the two. It was like, because those were, she had like two songs back to back or two summers. Beauty and the Beast. Peebo was actually in both of them. It wasn't Celine. Peebo was knocking it out. He did A Whole New World, and he did Beauty and the Beast. And then tonight, I celebrate my love for you with Roberta Flack. If ever you're in my arms again, by the time this night is over, from The Bodyguard.
So you would recognize all his songs. You just don't recognize him.
There's only like five of them, though. And then it's kind of like, I don't know any of the Peebo Bryson songs.
I would totally dig hearing him sing those songs.
Yeah, I would too.
I'd be in the front row.
I would too. There you go. The Peebo Bryson impersonator, downtown Branson, just past the dinosaur shop, and right next to that little building that looks like a religious organization. It is. They actually fit 34 people in that 5x8 structure every weekend with snakes. So,
oh my God, Jesus Christ!
I'm making that part up.
Oh, it's like Jesus.
Kind
Christ.
Of. I think you go.
Am I?
Just drive, 10 minutes out of town. It's happening somewhere. Maybe the building's a little bit bigger. Let's go to our first story. It says, I'm not sure where to begin. I'll start by saying I hope Carol is listening, because I know she loves these types of stories. Okay, here we go. Buckle up, Carol.
Do it.
I apologize for the length, but I'm unsure how to condense such intricacies. I spent my 20s blacked out drunk, spending my time in and out of rehabs and outpatient facilities. My mother was beside herself, not knowing how to help, but not wanting to enable. I put her through fucking hell with worry and stress, calls from jail after another DUI, filing missing persons reports after I would hide out for days drinking alone. Vodka was thicker than blood on many occasions, I'm ashamed to say. The guilt I feel for putting her through that is absolutely overwhelming. The cancer really took hold after she finally decided to divorce her shit husband and fulfill her lifelong dream of living alone, no longer responsible for a man-child or her actual children. We both independently moved across the country to Arizona to start a new life, me to Phoenix, her to Tucson, to be near her sister. On my move there, I got a souvenir in Texas in the form of my final DUI. I didn't realize it then, but I was at a turning point. I reached a new low I didn't know I needed. Within just a few months of moving, my mom's physical and mental decline became undeniable and excruciating to watch. Meanwhile, I had met a man in AA. Things were moving fast. Shocking for an alcoholic, I know. He proposed and I became pregnant. All this happened within my first year of sobriety, and I was so happy that my mom got to see me settle down. I desperately didn't want her to worry about my future. 2 weeks before my wedding, I went to visit my mom, who was in a wheelchair bound at this point and was staying with my aunt. We didn't know if she was going to make it to my wedding, so I had the idea of throwing together a last-minute backyard wedding that very day so she could see me tie the knot. My aunt had a minister friend who knew my mother and was happy to perform the fake ceremony. I went to Macy's, got a cute white dress that they forgot to take the security tags off of, which I just think adds a certain charm to the day. My mom watched me say, "I do," and received a necklace from my husband that promised he would always take care of me. I'm so grateful we got to have that last day with her. That very night, Mom had fallen out of bed and became unresponsive. She never woke up again, but remained in bed for a few more days. I spent nights at the floor of her bed and played old family videos so she could hear audio of a happy time. She passed a week before the wedding, and I like to think she was trying to hold on for a bit, but allowed herself to go after she got the backyard version all to herself. The morning after, my aunt woke up to a text from her friend saying, "Are you okay? Do you need me to come over?" She was so confused because there was no way her friend could have known anything had happened. Only a few of us were there for Mom's passing. Nobody was notified yet. She asked her what she meant. Her friend had said at that point overnight, my aunt had texted her saying, "I need you." My aunt searched and couldn't find any sent messages and didn't have any memory of sending any. I was obviously devastated, but didn't allow myself to fully face the loss because I was afraid of what the stress might do to the baby. I felt completely hopeless. How was I going to become a mother without my own to teach me? My rock, my support, my only cheerleader was gone. I couldn't do this without her. Now, my memory has always been shit, so I've written certain things down to ensure I have it logged. About 2 weeks after her death, she came to me in a dream. She was in the passenger seat of a car. I was in the back. I asked her if she was hungry. Shockingly, she answered, "Yeah, I really am." She had not been interested in food at all for months prior to her death. She acted as if she was feeling hunger for the first time in a long time. I looked at her smiling and said, "Isn't it weird how just a week ago you were on your deathbed and now you're totally fine?" I was so excited. She smiled cheerfully and replied, "I know." I understood what Carol says about dream visits. It's about the feeling of the dream more than the events. Seeing her healthy and hungry in such an everyday setting, the feeling was such a relief, a true sense of peace. I woke up immediately, wrote it down, not wanting to forget anything. I told my brother about this, and it turns out he's had a dream about her in a vehicle sitting around the same time. I had a few more dreams like this throughout my pregnancy and after, always with a feeling of calm and comfort. She knew how scared I was, and still am, to do this without her. Ended up needing to be induced and was devastated that I couldn't go into labor naturally, but the circumstances led to me giving birth unmedicated, just like I wanted, and I thank my mom for that. The real magical part is that he was born on her birthday. If that's not a sign and that she's with me, then I don't know what is. Raising him without her has been unbelievably hard. It's as if I have an open wound on my chest and I'm walking into the wind on the beach. The salty air ripping into my skin. My son makes the sting a little more bearable. He's 3 now, and I'm looking forward to seeing the similarities pop up between him and my mom. How cool would it be if he talked of past life experiences? I have 5 years sober now, and I'm so thankful my mom got to see me see the beginning of my new life. I'd also like to add something that Carol can surely appreciate. My urge to create something wasn't quite as intense as hers when Doug passed, but I knew I had to create something for my mom with her stuff that she left behind. She had saved every card she ever received. So I sorted through them, cut out the signatures, made a giant collage and framed it. I believe those signatures hold good intentions and well wishes behind them. I've made many things in her memory, but this one's my favorite. Thank you for reading. If you've gotten this far, I love you guys and would have never given as much weight to these dreams if I hadn't started listening to you guys years ago. So thankful I did. Danny. Danny, here's your long distance dedication.
Oh my God, everything about that story.
I know. Like,
okay, so her child was born on her mother's birthday.
Yeah.
Like, if you're looking for signs in this world, that's the biggest sign you could get that your mom was there that day.
Does that mean mom induced labor on her?
Well, and it sounds like she had some complications, yeah. So I don't even know that there was a choice about what day.
Is it ghost mom going, you're going to have this baby now, whether you want to or not?
It's like, today's the day.
Yeah.
Because another side of that is when you lose someone, like, you know, someone you're really close to like that, is those anniversary dates, the birth dates, the Christmases, the Thanksgivings, all of those dates are really, really, really hard. Mm-hmm. And the birthday is really, really hard because mine's April 10th. My dad's was April 12th. And it made it really hard. And, but now she has to celebrate that day every year.
Yeah.
You know? That was a sign. And just all of that. When she was talking about the dream, there's something different about those dreams. You wake up, like she wanted to write it down, and you wake up from a dream like that, and you know, it's like, I just talked to him. I know I was dreaming, but they were in the dream. Like, it's just a feeling. Like, it's so different.
Sure.
And there's a weird sense of peace, and it could be sadness. It could be, you know, missing him. But it's just like, because when Doug died, that was on July 24th. A year later, on July 28th, is when my dad died. So the shit got dark for a really long time. And I just literally felt like there was this dark cloud over my head all the time.
Sure.
And then one day, I'll never forget it, it just went away. And so, you know, people that are going through that really dark grief, it doesn't, the pain doesn't go away, the losing, the loss, the love, any of that. But it's like that special box that you never will part with, but you keep all the time, and it's just right there. But you learn to live around it, and you keep the things inside the box instead of having them out all the time and being a hot mess like I was for a really long time.
Sure.
And so I really do think that, you know, she'll eventually be at peace with, but the fact that her mom was able to see her clean and sober and married, knowing that she's got someone to help, you know, be in her life, and then know that there's a child on the way, like, dang. She got, that's the kind of stuff that you wish, that's like stuff in a movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's what, like, in a Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
Like, the stuff you want it to come together like that, and you're rooting for it to happen that way.
Well,
and it happened that way in her life.
It did. And here's
how, as sad as it is,
here's how we could actually add a little bit to the story, and we could make
it not
a Lifetime movie, but a Shudder exclusive. So then, you know, she's got the door shut and she hears talking in the baby's, not the baby, he's three now, but she hears talking in her son's room. And it's like, I like Grover. Do you like Grover?
I love Grover.
I do too. And I've been watching Sesame Street and it's so much fun.
Mr. Rogers wants you to go to hell.
You know, they're like, what is going on? And like, mom like opens the door really quick. Hi, mommy. Who are you talking to?
My friend from the other side.
And, you know, it turns out it's the voice that we didn't have the perfect effect for that. But the voice sounds like her mother, and she thinks that they're having a conversation at first until it starts going crazy. And then, like, the voice starts saying these horrible, horrible things.
This is what I love about you. Your brain goes into these interesting places.
So that would be, if we wanted to turn that into a horror movie, we can take everything right up to the everything that happened, and then we're going to make it really dark and really scary.
It's Lifetime up to 75 minutes.
Exactly.
It's the last 15 minutes. It goes off the rails.
What? Oh, my God. It wasn't him talking to mom in the room all the time. It was actually a demon. And it's like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
Grover wants you to find the monster at the end of the book.
Beautiful, heartwarming story. This is where we'll end it. No, I really, really honestly, that one did touch my heart. Those are like, I know I say it all the time, but they're my favorite stories. It just makes you know there's something more.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, and that the fact that they can be gone, but there's still, especially when she looks at her son, there's, I mean, that's genetics. Part of your mother lives through your son. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's very beautiful.
It is. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And it was a very good story. So pardon my part two to the story of what we
that's
do.
Everything I love about you right there, Tony.
If you want to make it a blockbuster summer hit, that's what we add to it. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey guys, it's Maria. I'm calling in with another story. This one is not my own, but it is my father's. We own a camper and have a seasonal, you know, contract with the campgrounds that my family has been going to since before I was born. I want to say like the last 50 years. We are very well known. You know, we drive in and they know who we are. The campers know who we are, the other seasonals. It's like having a second home with neighbors. Now we're here. My dad was doing some maintenance on the trailer. And so he went up by himself. I don't remember if it was like closer to opening season or closing the season, but it was a very quiet time where there wasn't a lot of people. So at night, the campground in the woods, which is where our trailer was located, our campsite, it gets very dark back there. And, you know, with the owners changing, they changed owners about 10 years ago. And between the owners changed, the campground has quieted down a lot. We get more weekend campers than seasonals, and this all plays in, I promise. But my dad was sitting at the campfire late one night, and he was playing his guitar. And he just plays casually. He's not like a performer or anything, but, you know, he's the guy who plays guitar. So he's sitting there and he's playing and he's singing his song and he feels a presence come up behind him. He thinks it's, you know, one of our seasonal friends, one of our neighbors, or maybe even just a weekend camper who was taking a late night walk and, you know, stopped to listen to music. So he played and he performed, you know, when he felt this presence. But the person was behind him over his shoulder. The campfire was in front of him. So he didn't really turn around and look. He was so into his song. Well, he told me that when he had turned around, finished his performance, turned around to see who it was and say, "Hey, you know, thanks for stopping by. You want a beer?" It was this immense, I mean, 8 foot tall, he told me, shadow figure. I can't remember all of the details. And I'll see if I can get him to call in the story himself, because he tells very well. But he had told me there was this dark shadow figure, and then it just went away. And he said he was praying to God that night. Well, he's laying in bed, you know, later on, and there's nobody really around in the other campsites because, like I said, it's either the beginning or the end of the season. He was doing maintenance on the camper and spent the weekend, and it was just, you know, just him. He was laying in bed trying to fall asleep. He heard three distinct knocks on the camper door. He got out of bed, to look and see if anybody had been out there. And there was nobody there. Now, these three knocks had come up more times in his life. I'm pretty sure it was before he went camping. A couple of months before, he had been at home and laying in bed and heard three knocks in the house. So now he saw this figure camping, and he's heard three knocks on the campus. Well, my father had a falling out with his best friend years ago before, you know, all this knocking and stuff. His friend wound up having cancer and was dying. During their falling out. And this was around the same time, the camping trip, that his friend had passed away. I don't know if it's related. And again, I want my dad to call in this story because it's really intriguing. But I hope you enjoyed all that I got to tell for today. And have a great day.
So, lots of things that could very easily be connected.
Yeah, I would like to hear the dad's story, actually. Mm-hmm. Because there's a few things I found interesting. Because normally, you know, if he's playing guitar and you feel somebody walking up behind you and you keep on playing, you know, and I would think there would have been some weird sensation before he turned around. Because, I don't know, maybe it's just a thing in the movies or just the stories that people tell. But usually they have that sense. There's somebody behind me.
Yeah.
And they turn around and it's that. It's not like, oh, it's one of my neighbor camper friends. And then you turn around and it's an 8-foot-tall shadow person. That's unusual to me. You know, because yeah. that doesn't seem to be the way that usually goes.
Yeah.
So that I'd be curious to hear more about that, you know, because maybe you're singing and you're into the song. So maybe you couldn't pick up on it. You just felt the presence.
I actually have tape here from when the other weekend I was.
When it happened to Rod Stewart.
No, me. When I was out playing my Spanish guitar at the little bistro the other day. This is me. I'm just getting started. And then you're
going to Spanish bistro.
You're going to hear there's a guy that kind of comes up to me. And then I get really startled. So this is how I reacted.
Man, play some Skinner.
Skinner!
What? Skinner! Ah! Jesus! Oh, my God! What are you doing? What are you doing? You just interrupted Atrocious. That's the song I've been working on all week, and you're going to come in here and fuck that up for me? Because you want to hear some fucking Skinner? Are you fucking kidding me? Is this what is... Why are you even here? Why are you here? I can't...
You play Skinner?
I can't handle this. I just came in here. Jesus. Fine. You want some fucking Skinner? Here's some fucking Skinner. Does this make you feel good? Does this make you feel like a man? Huh? Huh?
Lucky for me, I have a band.
I hope it does. Asshole. And that was my night. It was really just kind of one of those.
You can relate.
I can totally relate. I can totally relate. At the end, you got to give them what they want.
Who doesn't want to hear Skinner? And then you turned around and played that song when all they really wanted was Freebird.
I know. I was just kind of fucking with them. I was just, you know, it was kind of like.
I think that was Tuesday's Gone in the Wind. So, I've listened to a little Skinner in my day. So the other part about the friend who died.
Yeah.
Like, what was that like in the knocking? Did he think the friend was.
The friend had passed. The friend
ghostly
had passed.
Harassment?
I don't think it was like harassment, but I think it was more like a let you know I'm here, that I'm there's some sort of sign that you can't explain because a friend died, at, I believe, around the same time.
Okay.
So,
because I mean, that Absolutely. Yeah. And that kind of, that goes back to that other story. Well, I got the text from you in the middle of the night. What, is everything okay?
Yeah.
No, I didn't text you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that stuff, absolutely.
Yeah.
A little ghostly harassment, that's okay.
It's, long as it doesn't go too far.
As long as it's not scary shit and it's an 8-foot-tall shadow figure behind you.
Yeah, and it doesn't turn into, like, the whole... what are the ghosts that have sex with you? What's that called? The
The awkward.
Succubus and all that. So
yeah, that's awkward.
That would be kind of weird. Yeah, every once in a while we get those stories, and I feel kind of uncomfortable and dirty.
So what are your thoughts? I don't really want to have thoughts on that.
I don't. Yeah.
Next story, please.
Like I feel like I'm in third grade and somebody just said like boobs out loud or something. Like this is so weird. All right, that's gonna wrap up today's episode of the show. If you like the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. We greatly appreciate it. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.